June 10th, 2014 meeting of the Design Review Board and ask for a roll call, please.
Member Branch?
Here.
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman?
Here.
Member Sheeler?
Present.
Member Smith?
Here.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Here.
Chair Wignott?
Here. Before we go any further, please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll go next to item B on our administrative agenda, B1, the meeting minutes for May 27th, 2014. We have a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Scott?
I just had one. What's the noise, by the way, that we're getting?
Is it your mic?
Oh, it was your mic.
Heavy breathing. Sorry.
The only thing I had was on page, I had two things. Page 4 of 6, under the motion, it says Chair Branch, and I'm not chair. Same issue on page 5 on the motion, it says Chair Branch again there, and that just needs to be removed.
Change chair to member?
Correct.
Any other? I did have one also on page 4. Under that motion, item 2, I think the sentence should read, the plans shall verify that the pole lights are to be located in front of the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the intent there. I think with that change, if there's no other comments, we're ready to vote on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. One abstention.
Okay. Can you...
still... There we go.
It's like being out on the prairie.
Hurricane.
Oh, that can be problematic.
For a bit. Okay, we'll go next to item B2, the Planning Director Report. Welcome, Shine.
Testing. Hi. Mr. Chair, members of the board, thank you. It's good to be back. Sorry for my absence. Part of it planned, part of it not so planned, but it is good to be back. I just wanted to point out a couple things. First of all, that we're approaching summer, and which means that the next two meetings are, we will have a meeting on June 24th, our second meeting in June. Then after that is July 22nd. So the first meeting in July is canceled as per setting our calendar earlier in the year. And then after that is August 26th. We are canceling the first meeting in August. And so far as I understand, our calendar of projects is going to, can accommodate that. We don't have a heavy agenda at this time. So just for your information. And wanted to call some attention to the upcoming Planning Commission calendar. On the next Monday, which I believe is the 16th, thanks. Long Range Planning Division will be bringing forth the Climate Action Plan, the CAP. and the Elwood Trails and Restoration Project. They will be considering that on the 16th. On the 23rd, we are slated, the Planning Commission, to present the Village of Los Carneros project, just near us at 1 South Los Carneros Road. And then on the 30th, the Planning Commission will have another zoning ordinance workshop on what's being dubbed Module 3, Part 2 of Module 3, standards that apply to one or more zone districts. So the focus of that meeting will be on resource policy, so ESHAs, CREEKs, as well as energy projects review. 5 o'clock, there will be an open house with the director and planning manager, and then 6 to 8 will be the formal Planning Commission meeting workshop. And then yesterday, there was also another zoning ordinance workshop talking about the zoning ordinance, I think had more to do with some of the three-dimensional design standards. And so I would encourage your participation in those workshops. There's a lot of effort that goes into them beforehand on the part of staff and our zoning consultants, Diet and Bhatia. It's an ongoing process, so please participate if you have time and interest. So that concludes my remarks, and I am available for questions. So thank you.
All right, any questions at this time? All right, we'll go then to item C, review of agenda and projected agenda. Shine again.
Mr. Chair and members, so for our agenda today, we have one item that's requested a continuance, and that actually is the West Star overall sign plan. We just got that request. I would encourage you to, because we did include that in your packet today, if you could save your packet, it will be they have requested a continuance to the second meeting in our next meeting, June 24th. So if you could help save your packet, that would help our administrative staff a lot. Mm-hmm. There's no other items. Everything else is going to proceed on the agenda.
Chair Wignott.
Member Schiller.
Yes, I just had a question about projected agenda and just wondering if there is being considered an opportunity for the Design Review Board to be added to our agenda, presentation and discussion of Module 3, the landscaping zoning standards.
Mr. Chair, Member Sheeler, I can consult with our advanced planning staff and see if they can make that available, or how best to involve the Design Review Board in reviewing that. Yeah.
All right, so then we are going to need a motion to continue item G1 to June 24th.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Carried unanimously. We'll go then to item D, public comment. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. I believe we do have a speaker slip. And Ms. Brown, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Wignott, members. It's interesting always to be on the other side of the table here. I want to follow up, Mr. Chair and members, something Shine said. I was at the zoning code meeting last night for Module 3. And in this module, there are design standards for parking and particularly important for landscaping. And I have some concerns that the DRB should be involved with providing input for these standards to the city. They haven't asked you previously, but I think that you, as a minimum, need to read these standards. I'm somewhat concerned that they're rather prescriptive, taking away some flexibility that you might have in terms of site design, very project-specific things. It's a rather extensive section. There may be some other sections that you might be interested in, so I'd appreciate you reading it. It's online. They can give you hard copies. They had a bunch of them last night, and I'm sure they have some left over. Yet to come, from what Shine was saying, probably in the third section of Module 3 will be lighting and signage. And again, your expertise is going to be really important. As you know, you have lighting guidelines that were written some time ago that are, for that time, were pretty robust, I thought, and I think it'd be important that they be similarly robust in the city's new zoning code, as well as signage. Signage also is a very difficult issue. I've talked to the consultant about this, and I think that, again, your expertise, when this comes out, you're going to need to weigh in on it because there's some very specific things that you have great expertise on. You've had lots of experience. There's been a lot of members on the board here who've been here quite a while. So I would encourage you, and hopefully Shine can get you copies of this module so that you can review it, particularly for the landscape architects. I'd be interested to see what your response is. But I encourage you to have a formal session to agendize it, so you can review the issues and see how you'd like to respond to it to the city, because the city needs to hear from you, because otherwise you're just going to be handed this and you're going to go, huh? And I don't think that that's what you want. And I think you need to have, you know, some flexibility in what you do and how you look at projects. And anyway, so again, thank you, and I do appreciate what you do, having been on the other side there with all of you. It's a really important thing for our community. So, good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll then go to our consent calendar, item E1. Madam Chair, Madam Secretary, if you would read the item, please.
Okay, E1 is located at 75 Elwood Station Road. It's the AT&T Monopine co-location project, case number 14-012-DRB.
Thank you. This was on the consent calendar for this afternoon, and actually I had a telephone conversation with Mr. Ling last week about this item and designated myself to review the revised plan set that was on the city website. We had two comments at our May 27th meeting on the Monopine project, and the first one was covered by a note that's been added to the drawing set that says that the new security fence will have slats to match existing, and we take that to mean that the color of those slats will match the color of the existing slats. So I believe our first comment has been addressed on the drawing set. And the second comment was regarding the times that we would approve for maintenance and testing of the standby generator. And I think that we'll capture that in the recommended motion. I'm going to recommend that we give final approval as submitted, with the comment that the times approved for maintenance and testing of the generator shall be during normal business hours, Mondays through Fridays. And I would request that be our motion. Someone would like to so move?
I'll move.
All right. And do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Just under discussion, does normal need to be defined, or is that clearly understood?
I was just thinking eight to five. I'm not sure. Do we need to say that specifically, or?
I would think it would be a good idea.
So I would revise the recommendation to be normal business hours, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Mondays through Fridays. If maker of the motion and the second would agree?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Any further discussion on that? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Then we'll go to our item F, conceptual on the conceptual preliminary calendar, F1. And Madam Secretary, please read the item.
Thank you. F1 is located at 5956 Calariel, Tesla Stationary Battery Storage, case number 14-033-DRB.
And let's see, the planner, do we need Daryl for this item? Or?
Yes.
Good afternoon. I believe we continued this item with comments, and you've submitted a new
set of plants, that's correct,
drawing,
with the wood fence,
which we don't have. I mean, there were copies on the city website, but I don't know if DRB members got
you
them.
Didn't get them?
Well, we got them electronically.
We submitted the plans that were requested.
Okay, so
they were all received by
I think that's where
they will be
going right now.
They will be distributed momentarily.
Daryl's on vacation or something.
Right. Right. So.
And here they come.
And I don't know if we have those plans that could be put up on the overhead screens or not.
Unfortunately, we're.
We don't.
We don't.
Okay.
But I do have the plans.
That's fine. One big chip.
So you'll note when you get to the elevation sheets, like Z5.
That's the whole thing.
That's where we have added the fence, and you can also see in the site plan where we have added landscaping per your request.
If you look on the plan and profile too, it shows the outline, which is kind of what you suggested there.
All of that?
This one, yeah. So.
Just a zoning drawing.
No,
there's an elevation. Z3 also shows where we've got the landscaping. Site plan.
Z4. That's from the.
The property
front just view
to the right of
the view of the
looking up
double doors
over here. So you're looking from the parking lot over. And this is from the rear. So this is the view of the sheets. So here's the site plan.
That I did not find. There is no detail provided of the fence itself as far as the dimensions of the
No, unfortunately, these are just zoning
on.
Drawings,
yeah.
So we're waiting for you guys to say, yes, we like the concept, and then we would create the construction drawings.
Oh, okay.
So just...
So where are we at? Are we in the questions or things or comments?
Yeah, if you have questions, please go ahead.
Don't have any questions at this point.
Does anyone have questions of the applicant at this time? Okay, how about comments? Thomas?
I like what you did. Especially, I like the fact that the siding, because we didn't say what it looks like. I think the horizontal look of the siding, I think, complements everything very nicely. So, I would be curious as to find out. You know, we will need to know like what color it is.
Not today.
No, but yeah. I'm just future reference.
Okay, I don't think that we coordinated that with the bank yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've kind of got their bank colors.
Right.
So it may well be bank colors.
It could be something that complements that. Yeah. Okay. That's all comment I have.
Okay. Gregory?
My only comment is it looks good. Yeah. It's the look that we're going for. I think it just
does a good job of buttoning it up and concealing what otherwise would look pretty industrial in the middle of the parking lot. Yeah. That's it.
Aaron, do you want to start on your side of the table?
I think the concept's good, and we're just looking forward to final landscape drawings and details and all that good stuff.
So you can't give me approval at this point. You need me to come back to another hearing with the final landscaping plans on, because it is a pretty small project. We were hoping that you would just move us on and we'd be able to get approval and apply for a building permit. Sounds like we're a ways off from that.
It's a three-step process, unfortunately. There's three levels of review. There's conceptual, preliminary, and final. Conceptual, where it looks like we're willing to give you, but it's not technically approval because preliminary is the appeal point. So we have to get you to a preliminary approval before you can move forward with any confidence.
So can you move on with this, or but you need?
It hasn't been agendized for preliminary, so we can only go as far as conceptual.
No, I believe it is agendized
it
for
is
preliminary.
Conceptual.
Oh yeah,
preliminary.
Approval.
Conceptual preliminary.
Oh, it is. Yep.
Yeah.
I was looking at the wrong
So, item. So this, if you were, to, if I could, if I may, members of board, if you were to be inclined to give a preliminary approval, there would be an appeal point, and then you would,
then we could,
we'd have you prepare the construction level drawings with details and colors, and at that point we would come back for a final review and request for final approval, and at that point you'd work with the project planner, Daryl, to coordinate that along with the building submittal. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Shine? Yeah, considering, like she said, this is a small project, mm-hmm. and if we are able to give her preliminary,
mm-hmm.
Would it be appropriate for the final to just do like a final on consent?
Yeah. If the board so wishes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out.
Yeah.
Right. One thing I noted that in addition to the structure, you have included in the note proposed landscaping, typical. So is there an intent along with the new structure to put some additional landscaping
yes.
around it?
Yes, it'll be the same plants that are there now, which are oleanders. It seems that property has that already, so we weren't going to introduce anything new. We're
okay.
just going to put similar plants to what are around it right now. But it could use a few more. So it looks a little sparse.
All right, so somebody like to provide additional comments at this time, or would you like to just go and make a motion?
I just had one question. If this is set up to be on consent calendar for final, who ultimately will determine if the color is compatible that will be presented officially?
The chair's designee, that individual or individuals should be
okay.
is how it generally works.
Mm-hmm.
The only other option would be to bring it back to the full board for final approval.
I'd prefer it to be as streamlined and simple as possible, but just to make sure that there is some last person on this committee that's taking a look at it on our behalf.
Yeah,
right. So that would be one of our. One of our board members plus the planner and the applicant would review the drawings that come in for final on consent. And then that person would make a recommendation to the full board for final approval. Any other questions or comments? No. Would somebody like to make a motion then?
I'd like to, Chair. I'd like to make a motion for preliminary approval of this with the conditions that when they come back for final on consent, that there are details drawn of the enclosure, also noting the color of the enclosure and color of the equipment, and also the additional landscaping, which we understand is going to be oleanders, compatible with the existing landscape.
All right.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. So to support the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I believe that carries unanimously. So you'll come back on the consent calendar on what date? Would you?
Good.
You have one more meeting this month.
24th.
You have to have the drawings by what date?
Next week.
The next Tuesday.
The amount of drawing involved is very, very little for whoever's going to be actually doing the drawing. I know.
You could.
We can get you the drawings by next Tuesday.
So we'll say that the motion will be to come back for final on consent on the 24th, and if that should change, you can let the planning department know.
Yeah. Worst comes to worst, you can always use a taser.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then we have item G1 on the conceptual calendar has been continued to June 24th. So that takes us to item H, discussion items. And H1 is the planning/DRB permit process overview presentation, flourish of trumpets, roll of drums. Mr. Ling.
Sure.
Got an extra. Those are extras, I guess.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm going to have to look behind me to see what slide we're on because that is not working, but I have handed out a copy of my presentation for today. I decided to put this on the agenda because for a number of reasons, and one is that there are some members who are relatively new, but even if you've been around for a while, I think it's a good idea just to have a refresher on how does planning really work in Goleta, and even though you may be familiar with how planning works in other jurisdictions in, say, Santa Barbara or elsewhere, this board, the DRB, plays an integral part in the planning process, but I think it's important for all the players to know the big picture of how the process works and what part does each participant play in the process. So the questions that we're going to cover today are who participates in the planning process and what are their roles? What laws guide planning in Goleta? How does this process work? And how can this board, the Design Review Board, do its best to facilitate the process? So I'm going to start by just talking about, well, who are the participants, who are the players? And in roughly ascending order, I've listed them here, and I'm going to highlight the ones at either end of the scale first, the applicants and then the city council and the public at large. So I start with the applicants because if it weren't for applicants, none of us would be here. And the only thing I'll say about applicants is that they are responsible for presenting a design to the city. You may have heard us say we don't design projects. We react to designs of projects as a city. We don't design projects for applicants. So I think, you know, that's, you know, that's an important distinction, and that it's important to keep in mind is that applicants, they have a right to be treated fairly in the process, and to put forth their design, making sure, of course, that, you know, they go through the process and they're subject to the laws and regulations that they have to be subject to. But they are the one that makes the first move, and we're the ones that react. Another thing I wanted to say about applicants is that we don't have, as a staff, we don't have a choice what applications come to us. We have, it sounds obvious, I know, but we have to process every application that comes in the door. And we can't close the door. If we have many applications, we have to process them. We have to find a way to process them. And as of lately, we've had a large uptick in applications. And so, therefore, we have a staff and contract staff that's there to meet the demand and the challenge as well. So that's all I want to say about applicants. And on the other end of the scale is the city council. They are the city's elected officials that run this organization, the city. They make the policies. They make the laws that we are subject to. And they're being ultimately in charge. They are the ones that delegate the authority to those in the middle of this list, the staff, the design review board, and the planning commission. And so on my next slide is a picture of who we are. And I wanted to say that, and I put this slide to say, show us how many of us there are, and that we are a group of professionals very dedicated to the city and to this profession. Some of us have more of a design background. Michael Concepcion, for example, he has a bachelor's in architecture. Some of us have more of a resources background. Myself, I'm a biologist. Ann Wells is a biologist. Brian Highfield, you've worked with, is a geographer. And then others have more of a policy and economics background as well. So together we have, being city planning is a very generalist field, we come together and we bring many years of cumulative experience to the projects that we review. And not shown in this slide also are the public works staff and our city attorney and the public works staff responsible for everything that's in the public right-of-way, including sidewalks and traffic reviews, parks, bicycle facilities, sidewalk facilities, stormwater. So they play an integral role. And then the city attorney also has major place in the as part of our staff to make sure that everything we do is legally adequate, that we've applied the law fairly, and that we've protected the interests of the city organization. So the next slide, I just listed some of the laws and the policies that the staff re-administer and that a project has to comply with when they put an application together. These include, at the local level, the general plan, the zoning ordinance, which includes three-dimensional standards, including setbacks, lot coverage, FAR, parking, et cetera, and signage. Together, the general plan and the zoning ordinance, they set forth also a land use plan map or a zoning map that says, okay, these uses are going to be allowed in this part of town and these uses are not going to be allowed in this part of town. So that sets forth a pattern of how land is used in the city. That's encoded, if you will, in these maps. And those maps are created as part of the of general plan process or the zoning ordinance process. And once those are set in place, it's our job as staff to just to carry forth what their intent is as far as location and the use of land. Other laws, I'll just mention, the city has an engineering design manual that is administered by our public works staff. This is concerns the design of streets, sidewalks. We have our manual is similar or the same as the one from the county of Santa Barbara, and that that is how projects have to be designed if a project brings forth public improvements as part of their the design. And it's the city engineer who reviews those plans to make sure they meet the requirements of that design manual as well as other standards, and also reviews if there's exceptions requested. The California Building Code. We have the Building Division, which is part of our planning department. They play a very close role. I would say that this Building Division is more closely knit into the way planning works compared to any other jurisdiction that I've seen. I'm very proud of that, and I'm really thankful for that, that we have their expertise to call on. Oftentimes we get a project and we wonder, does this meet code? Is this safe? And they'll be able to give us a straightforward, fair answer on the spot. All projects have to comply with the building code. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. And I'm sure you architect practitioners, you know that very well. And you could, there is an appeals process, but really it's a statewide code. We don't have any local amendments to the code. And that's a code that gets reviewed every 3 years by the state and gets pushed out to all the jurisdictions. One thing I will note is that the building code also includes CalGreen, which are the California Green Building Code, Green Building Standards Code. And you may also know that the city has its own green building program. As of today, all projects must meet this, what's called the mandatory requirements of CalGreen. There are two tiers of additional performance on efficiency. And it's not just energy efficiency, but it's also other resource efficiency like water and waste management. But those two tiers are voluntary, and our green building program, there are, the way it works, generally speaking, is there are incentives to encourage developers to or builders to reach higher. Also, you may know that there is we had something called the Reach Energy, the local energy code, the Reach code, where when that was put into place some years ago, the idea was that all projects would have to demonstrate an energy performance that's 15% better than the 2008 standards. Since then, new standards have been adopted and incorporated statewide, so that surpassed that local reach code. So that code is still on the books, but it's kind of, it doesn't, it's been superseded, if you will, by even better standards. So it was called a reach code because we were reaching ahead, if you will, of being ahead of the curve of what the state was at the time. So, stormwater regulations. The Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board has set forth a very rigorous standard for projects. Basically, is unique to our region, the Central Coast region, meaning roughly from Monterey all the way to the Ventura County line. The concept being that we have to, that projects must retain on site in one form or another the 95th percentile storm event. So the amount of water that comes down in such an event in Goleta, that's roughly 2.5 inches of rain, that volume of water has to stay on the site, whether it's through retention basins. And so that's different from what it used to be. It used to be that you could detain the volume. You could meter it out. But now it actually has to stay on the site and percolate down into the groundwater. That regulation is a state regulation, but that's administered jointly between the planning department and public works staff. And that's a requirement. There are different levels of that requirement depending on how large your project is, but there's not much wiggle room around it. So everything I've listed up until here are regulations, things that projects have to do, and it's not necessarily within my purview as a staff or anyone else's to bend those regulations or to request exceptions unless they're explicitly laid out in the regulations themselves. So that's everything up to stormwater regulations. Then the last one I want to talk about is environmental review, which is this California Environmental Quality Act. Before I go on, the other one I didn't put on this list is the Americans with Disabilities Act. Many of those specific design standards for disability are put into the California Building Code, and so they are enforced locally. The more general, there are some general aspects to the federal law we notify people of. We point out that there's a liability if you don't meet these requirements. But it's also so there's two levels of enforcement with disability. There's the city's enforcement of the standards, but there's also citizen enforcement if for some reason there's not reasonable accommodation. So the last law is environmental review, and that's a process of information disclosure about environmental impacts. So there's not CEQA doesn't say this has to be the way you do it. You build a project. CEQA says, okay, city, you need to fully disclose what are all the environmental impacts of a project if it's a discretionary level project. You need to disclose those, and you need to show how those impacts can be mitigated to a less than significant level. That's a term of art. Or if they can't be, the city has to state why they're willing to go ahead with approving a project even though the impacts aren't fully mitigated. And so it's not something like a standard that says the water has to be X clean or the air has to be X clean. It's a information disclosure process by which all the impacts are laid out for everyone to see, and it helps the city make informed decisions about how to mitigate impacts that come up as a part of this disclosure process. So I go on and on about these to say that even before a project comes in the door, applicants have to know these rules, design around these rules, before they even come here. And it's the staff's job to administer these laws. One thing I want to say that's different about how we do things in GLUIDA versus in other jurisdictions with design review boards is that I do not bring forward projects that have not gone through at least a first review on the environmental side as well as the general plan and zoning side. And if an applicant and sometimes say, you know, I just want to, you know, get a general reaction from the design review board about a project at the conceptual level. And I can tell you time and again, I recommend against it because I feel that if you don't have these things in place, you know, what is there to talk about? And I put that caveat out, and if they know that going in, they're welcome to do that. And then I tell you that explicitly, that let's say they just want a napkin sketch level review. We haven't done all the you know, nuts and bolts review. In other jurisdictions, you can actually go to the design review board without, before staff has had a chance to check through all these things. And I actually don't, personally don't think that's a, makes for a robust process. And that's my opinion, and that's just, that's how I run this operations here anyway. So moving on, there are other laws and policies that are administered by other agencies or staff outside the city organization. First is the fire department. The county fire department provides fire protection services to us, and they have on their website adopted development standards. So these go everything from how many fire hydrants you need to have to how long the roads have to be, what is the turnaround, truck turnaround design. Those are standards. And very, very, very rarely has an applicant not met the standard. They have, and these standards actually are on top of the California Fire Code for health and safety protection. So there's a fire department, and we do route projects to them for their review at the initial stages, at least certainly the discretionary projects and many times the smaller projects. The other agencies are the water district for water supply and the sanitary services districts. As you know, unlike other cities that have their own water department and sewer department and the city organization, these are districts that are outside our control and predate us, actually. And they have their own codes and they have their own procedures. And because of this, fire, water, sewer, other utilities, we do have a working relationship with them. We have at the staff level, where very early on in the project review, we route the plans to them before you often see them. And because, and you can imagine, let's say the fire department says, well, you know, this road design or this turnaround design, it's just not going to work. I can't pull hoses to this last corner of the building because the way the road is. That shifts the whole site plan. You know, so that they have to literally have to go back to the drawing board and come up with something that works. And so these agencies, they provide comments to us, and they and not only comments but conditions of approval that go with a project. That they recommend that we incorporate. Sometimes they have their own legal authority through their own laws and codes to impose their regulations, especially water and especially fire. We as a matter of course incorporate their conditions verbatim. That's the working relationship we have, and the thing is that we provide the information to applicants up front. Sometimes we even encourage applicants to go talk to the water department, go talk to the fire department before you even apply, just so you know what their concerns are, and that's the work of a smart applicant team, is to know what are all the design parameters ahead of time. And then I also put my last bullet point here, put CEQA down here. These also include what I call trustee agencies. These are agencies like the Department of Fish and Wildlife at the county and the federal level, the Army Corps of Engineers when it comes to wetlands, other neighboring cities, such as the City of Santa Barbara or County of Santa Barbara, regional governments. They have some level of responsibility that's doled out to them by law, or usually by law, and they will provide comments to us as part of the CEQA process, part of that information disclosure process. So now that this is a good segue into permit process. What I put on this slide here is just very generally how the process works for a discretionary project. So a discretionary project is a project where it's not an automatic yes that's in the city. So those are called ministerial approvals. And so discretionary projects, they, by course of the, what the zoning ordinance says for our projects that require some sort of comprehensive review, so things like development plans or conditional use permits where a zoning code can't anticipate all the impacts or all the parameters for a project. And so there's some level of review by a board, usually the planning commission, as to whether it should be approved, or more formally stated, whether findings for approval can be made, things like does the project aid the health, safety, and welfare of this community? Does it meet the general plan's intent and letter? So you have seen sometimes that planning commissions say no to projects, or say no, or say yes, but. Okay, so that's what's called a discretionary level project. Yeah.
Shyan, sorry to interrupt you, but I did have a question. Around the design review and conceptual DRB. Mm-hmm. Will there ever be a box or a place on the flow chart where there'll be concept review with the Planning Commission and the Design Review Board?
I think that's yet to be determined. I think, let me talk about what is today, and then we'll have a chance to talk about what could be. Yeah. So on the left are three parts of the process that happen more or less at the same time in parallel. After we get what's called a complete application, that means the project has stopped changing its project description. They know how many units it's going to be, the site plan. They know how generally how it's going to be. We have all the information, special studies that we need to at least start the environmental review process. These three things happen at the same time. So first of all, I'm going to start at the bottom up. Is the bottom square is the general plan zoning ordinance review. That happens immediately at the staff. And that actually means going through every page of the general plan and zoning ordinance that applies and applying it to the project. I've been here for about 10 years, and I still haven't committed it to memory. It's getting there, but even then, it serves me to do an actual, what does the general plan say, what does the code say, and how have I applied this, how have we as a city applied these policies in the past, because we want to make sure that we apply these fairly and uniformly. That's what applicants deserve. The middle box is the environmental review process, and that is where I'm not going to go into how that works, except to say that there are statements, impact statements, or impact reports that we write that disclose the impacts of a project, everything from air quality to aesthetics to biological resources, geological resources, to traffic and water quality and water supply. And the thing about that's interesting about CEQA is it expands. If there are new issues, those get raised as part of the information disclosure process. If there are impacts we just don't know about that we learn about, that are evolving, those often get added into the CEQA process. The most good example I can think of is greenhouse gas emissions. You know, that was something that, when I started, it wasn't even part of environmental impact reports, and now it's a major part of environmental impact reports. So that happens as part of a project review, and that takes a good amount of time, as you've seen. And then there's design review, and that's where you come in. And for discretionary level projects, It's at a conceptual level. It's not an approval. It's just conceptual comments. All of these aspects of these three boxes, this is all the information that goes into preparing something that goes before a planning commission or the planning commission. It's my job or our job as city planners to integrate all of this information. And it's a lot of information. If you've ever been on the planning commission, you know what the packets look like, and you've probably seen what the administrative record looks like. It's voluminous, especially when the CEQA review is involved. But we distill it, we describe it, we present it, and we'll make a recommendation as to the extent that a project is meriting findings for approval. But it's always a recommendation, and that's the role of city staff. The role of city staff is to do this technocratic role of administering the laws fairly and applying them fairly, and then, but also presenting the information to the Planning Commission in a way that they can make an informed decision. So we analyze, we summarize, we write the reports. We don't make the decision. Planning Commission makes the decision. And oftentimes, if there's some legislative amendment, something that requires some change to the general plan or change to the zoning of a property, then even the Planning Commission is not making the decision. It's the City Council. They're vested with that power. And So let's say that that some approval has been made on a project by the Planning Commission or City Council, if appropriate. Then it'll go to post-approval work. And the bottom square is what we call permit clearance. And that is where a staff planner will actually work with the building department as well as the public works department to distill all the conditions of approval that have been placed on a project by the Planning Commission and make sure that they're followed through and they're implemented. So that's kind of like a zoning plan check or a conditions plan check. We make sure those conditions are incorporated in the actual construction plans. We don't sign off on them. We don't let building permits get issued unless they are there. It's a behind-the-scenes process that a lot of people don't see, but it actually takes up a lot of time. But we take it very seriously. And then the other box, the top box again, is the preliminary and final levels of approval, review and approval by Design Review Board. And so at this stage, the Planning Commission has decided on what the site plan is going to be, what the size, bulk, and scale of buildings are going to be. And now we really are talking about details or architectural landscape or lighting, things beyond site planning. And sometimes those will generate, so that preliminary and final review generates conditions. Like it's got you, as you saw today, we had a condition on the hours of operation or conditions on what color it's going to be or material or... Those are all conditions that actually get fed. They're not only recorded, but they're fed into the permit clearance process by the staff into the building department. We make sure that your intent gets carried out in the process, and that we take that very seriously. So there's this front end, and then there's this back end, and then there's the decision, and then there's the implementation, the back end. Okay, so I'm gonna end by just talking about the roles of the Planning Commission and the Design Review Board and how they overlap, and so how do we carry forward knowing that there's some overlap. On this slide is what the Planning Commission's duties and roles are. The first three bullets are rough summaries of what state planning laws say. The Planning Commission is responsible for reviewing and implementing the general plan. And so when it comes to discretionary projects, they are responsible for making sure projects meet the general plan. They're also responsible for efforts like zoning ordinances and climate action plans, tools that help implement the general plan. They make recommendations on amendments to the general plan. They make recommendations to the city council. They, as you've seen with the zoning ordinance workshops, make recommendations on what the formulation of that, the zoning ordinance is like, or specific plans. And in practice, the Planning Commission is doing a lot of the hard work of putting ordinance together in concert with staff and the public in public workshops and getting those in and absorbing the desires and wants and needs of the different people who put together a zoning ordinance or a general plan, integrating them into a document and then forwarding them on to the city council for as a recommendation. Now, the Planning Commission has actual approval authority over these many discretionary permits. So these include development plans, conditional use permits, and zoning modifications. So sometimes the code allows you to tweak a zoning standard like a setback or open space requirement. If that permission is granted in the zoning ordinance, it's the Planning Commission that gets to decide whether to make that tweak, to allow that tweak or not. It has to be justified. Yes. Yeah.
Shine, just a quick question on development plans. What is an example? Is that including a development agreement, or is it a plan? How do you define that?
Sure.
How do you define development?
Development plan. You know, development plan is it's a kind of permit that's unique to our code or the county's code, and basically it consists of site plan approval. Intensity of development. So how many units or how many how many parking spaces and size, bulk, and scale.
Okay.
Development agreements are actually they're to negotiate public benefits between the city and a developer.
Okay, so something different from a development.
Well, and not only different, but above and beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's negotiated between, as I said, city and developer, and ultimately it's the city council that decides whether to approve a development agreement or not. At this time, currently, my understanding of development agreements is you can't use a development agreement to tweak a 3D standard. Yeah, that's actually recent case law. So my understanding is that if you want to tweak a standard, you either have to have it explicitly allowed in the zoning ordinance or you have to change the ordinance. You have to apply to amend the ordinance. What development agreements are, they're really about public benefit, like fees for parks or dedications of that are above and beyond what are required. So, implicit in this is that the Planning Commission has primary responsibility for land use and site planning matters. And I know this is a bit confusing because, the Design Review Board was created immediately at the city's incorporation, whereas the Planning Commission was added on later. If you look at the ordinances that create the Planning Commission and Design Review Board, there is some overlap, and it's not. I'm not here to say today, that we should either eliminate an overlap. I'm just saying that it's there, and until those ordinances get changed, how do we best negotiate that? So that's the Planning Commission. Now, the Design Review Board, this comes out of the Design Review Board ordinance, the ordinance that established the Design Review Board. It's to conduct design review and encourage, this is the last half of a sentence, but encourage development that exemplifies the best professional design practices, enhances the visual quality of the environment, benefits surrounding property values, and makes the most appropriate use of land. I would say that the latter two are more about land use and zoning. Even though this was written in 2002, and the Planning Commission ordinance was written in, I want to say 2007, six or seven, when after the general plan was adopted. But when you read through the bylaws and you read through the ordinance, it very clearly states that the primary responsibility of the Design Review Board is to look after the visual quality of the environment through architecture, through landscaping, through lighting, through the through design. These include height, bulk, area of buildings and structures. This is verbatim from the ordinance. Colors, types of building materials, relationship of the structures to those that are surrounding it. I think it's something elementary. I'm not an architect, but I think that's basic architectural training, right? The context. Site layout, orientation, location of buildings, and relationship with open areas and topography. Walls, fences, screen planting, landscaping, signage, lighting. So very much nuts and bolts sorts of things. So as I see it, as long as there's a design review board to look after these sorts of design aesthetic issues, I know from practice, and I've heard it from you, but I also know it just experientially as a project planner, that there's going to be some overlap with respect to site planning, right? And I think a more productive question or discussion is not to say, oh, how do we eliminate the overlap, or how do we draw the line? I put a lot of thought into this before I came here today, and I like to say it is that the more productive question is what do the different participants, what's their primary responsibility? And so the Planning Commission, their primary responsibility is to implement the general plan and the zoning ordinance and apply it fairly to projects. So this is about the best use of land. So, is this piece of land, is this location, is this where we want something? And then, whether it's a commercial or residential, so that's like zoning. Is this when it comes to creating zoning maps, is this the right land use pattern that we want for our city? And then, not only that, oriented to streets, do parcels relate to the street, these sorts of uses? Does that make sense? The zoning ordinance does contain setbacks, lot coverage, FAR, open space, density, the amount of development. A lot of that is prescribed by the general plan and the zoning ordinance. And so the Planning Commission, they have the primary responsibility for making sure that these 3D standards are met, the basic 3D standards are met from the zoning ordinance, but also does it make sense in the context of the zoning map, the neighborhood. And they're also responsible, because the way CEQA is put together, is for evaluating environmental impacts of a project and making sure to mitigate it in a way. And I've said that it's a highly technical process, but it's also a very public process. It involves a lot of disclosure, drafts get presented, and people react to them. So it's made for the public as much as it's a technical process. And I like to say then, so with that, you know, so Planning Commission, that's their responsibility for site planning. Design Review Board, and just by reading the ordinance, your primary responsibility is over the visual quality of the built environment. And so architecture, landscaping, lighting, signage. So I don't have a issue per se, and I think this is where I would open it up now for the discussion. I'm mostly done with my lecture. When projects come forward, this is the understanding that applicants have of the process, and that there are these different players that are responsible for, have primary responsibility for different things, and so what happens when one participant starts to expand their area of responsibility or purview into other areas, and two things happen. One is that there is an appearance that if you're exceeding, if the design review board is going into land use matters that the Planning Commission has, there's an appearance that you're actually influencing that decision that the Planning Commission is making, that you have some, that you have biased the Planning Commission's decision. I'm looking at it from the applicant's standpoint. If let's say at an early stage at design review, if density is too high, but the project is meeting a general plan goal of density or planning commit that that's something that has been reserved to the Planning Commission to implement the general plan is, and so on TV, oftentimes members of public applicants can't tell that you are not the one that makes the decisions on land use. So there's this appearance of sometimes that you're making the decision or you're the decision is going to be weighted in some certain way when it gets to the Planning Commission or City Council. I wish that everyone watching is understood the process and especially media report the process accurately. When they report on design review board, it's like, oh, we, X development that's got trounced or got glowing reviews, and that somehow means the city's going to approve it. That's not necessarily true, And so, so there's the appearance thing, and then the Planning Commission and the City Council, they want to have their primary responsibility. It's not that they don't welcome your input or anyone else's input. They just want to reserve all of their powers that are reserved to them. And they so I guess what I would say is, I don't intend to solve the overlap problem today. I will say that, as we are going through a new zoning ordinance that does talk about, the delegation of the powers of who gets to do what in the planning process, that hasn't been brought forward yet. That is something that it will probably come at the end of the zoning ordinance project, frankly, because we have so much material, just figuring out what are the standards we want to live by. Deciding who gets to do what, I think that's something that the City Council is going to be want to be in the driver's seat on. I'm sure many of us will have an opinion about, you know, how best to make the process better, or what expertise is best for, you know, one body or another. Can we do an earlier review, concept review for a planning commission? What are the legal issues surrounding that? I think we have an opportunity with this new zoning ordinance to take a fresh look at that. Until then, I guess what I would say is, you know, from just to conclude, is that all participants should respect all the respective roles of each participant, and that that each participant needs to give primary responsibility its first priority. So I know that, you know, you're volunteering your time because you care about the city, and let me tell you, I don't want to sound too I do believe this, I genuinely, is that in 10 years of watching this design review board work, have projects come out of this board looking better, working better, designed better, functioning better? The answer is yes, unequivocally. I do believe that, and I think this community, this is a community that values what you do, that understands that you are applying a very technical or design focus to projects, that is a certain expertise that you've accumulated over time, if you earned and done, practiced. So when you're reviewing a project, you might have opinions about these land use issues. I have opinions about land. Trust me, I do. But I've got to respect the roles of other people in the process. I mean, I've got to, for my staff, myself and staff, you know, I have to respect my role as, I'm not the decider, I'm just the analyst, okay? And you might have opinions about these bigger issues, but when the project comes before you, let's get the design stuff out of the way first, is what I would suggest. And then if you have input on these land use issues, you know, to avoid that appearance problem of decision-making authority, the project planner is the point person in the project. It's the one, the analyst is integrating all this information for the planning commission's consideration and ultimately city council's consideration, and is oftentimes relaying those messages to the applicant, you know, when the meetings are over, and saying, if you have comments or desires, I would suggest that you might go not at this dais, but in a written comment to the project planner, going on record of saying, I have these issues when it comes to land use and zoning, or things that are outside of DRB purview per se. That's pretty much all I've got to say. I'm here. We have time. I can answer some questions. I know, you know, this is not clean or easy, but I thank you for listening to me. So thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Question, Scott?
Yeah, I do have a question. Yeah. You gave an example of something that happened today, yeah. And it probably falls in that overlap area.
Yeah.
When you were talking about, I noted it when we were on the slide that had the graphic on it, and you talked about hours of operation. So under the Planning Commission, it says primary responsibility for land use and site planning. And it seems like that would fall under that. But at the same time, under Design Review Board, it says, you know, conduct design review, encourage development, that benefits surrounding property values, makes the most appropriate use of land. Then on the second to last slide, we're talking about Planning Commission, primary responsibility, environmental impacts, example, traffic, which hours of operation, I'll fall into that a little bit with regards to deliveries, that kind of thing. But Design Review Board has primary responsibility for visual quality. So hours of operation kind of fall under that in terms of it being open and mm-hmm. people going in and out. So that seems to be kind yeah. of an overlap
yeah.
subject. Where mm-hmm. does that fall?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of that, I think on a case-by-case basis, it's going to be my job as the secretary and staff to kind of negotiate, help negotiate where the overlap is and mm-hmm. who has the responsibility. Here's the issue, is that in a perfect world, the zoning ordinance would dictate a lot of the things. We would work out these issues in the zoning ordinance. And there would be uniform standards that would apply to everybody. And and there's no negotiating around them. I don't have a code that does that yet. Not well enough. And we all know this. But we also have these findings that are part of the land use permit, you know, health, safety, welfare, promote the general plan. And so if there's an issue that comes up at design review, or even during our review, if it doesn't go to design review board, that is a useful condition to have that helps us support the findings that we have to make. And I feel that there's a legal nexus to impose that. At this point, where the ordinance sits, it's okay if you bring it up. It's okay if I bring it up. It will, because it, to me, things like that, that particular thing about hours of operation, that will find its way into the land use permit as a condition of approval. This is the part that you don't see as in the administration of it, is that if you have a comment or a condition on a project, let's say at final approval, that will actually be recorded by Linda, typed out, part of the minutes, but that condition actually will find its way into the land use permit. It doesn't escape. So in a sense, your comment becomes a land use permit condition. Kind of a legal, that's the process by which we're doing it. And so that's how that's what happened today. In terms of, in general, I think it's, that's why I spend so much time talking about laws and regulations, is that so much of design is actually spoken for, before it comes to the board. And I think when the ordinance gets put together, it'll speak for even more, or more specificity anyway. I don't have a great answer for your question, except to say that I try to negotiate it on the fly and project by project, incident basis, and that I hope that the zoning ordinance will be a better tool.
I have a question too. There we go. I had a question also. Because once in a great, great while, a project comes by here that has a design element in it that, according to what I've heard and read here, properly belongs to the Planning Commission, but looks to us like it's just not being addressed, or addressed in such a minor way that it elicits a response. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Target.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the parking on the site, but the the amount of effort put into to trying to accommodate the volume of traffic which surely was going to come off of the northbound 101 Los Caneros off ramp, going off through Calle Corral, going through a couple of turns and finally getting to that. I know for myself, and I'm pretty sure I speak at least for more than a few members on the board that, that saw this, it just looked like a disaster waiting to happen. I could see that thing on Black Friday being backed up all the way down into the freeway. And I know, you know, I mentioned it at the time, and we were assured, oh, no, we've, you know, these traffic engineers, they've engineered it, they've analyzed it, they've studied it. It's, you know, the Planning Commission has been looking at it, and everybody says it's fine. But it just doesn't look fine. If something like that comes up, does this board have a recourse? Can we delegate a person on the board to represent us and fill out a speaker slip before the Planning Commission and say, hey, we looked at this ourselves, and it's your decision, but to tell you the truth, we looked at it and we felt blah, blah, blah.
You know, I think...
because some, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we
yeah, sure.
we feel the responsibility of our position as well. We're, you know, everybody, the and not to slight the Planning Commission or certainly you guys. You mm-hmm. guys do a yeoman's work, absolutely. But we're also just as committed and concerned about how our city looks
yeah.
and how our city works. And sometimes, not like I said, not a lot, but once in a while, something like that comes across that just looks so egregious that it just, like, how in the world are they doing this? You know, and so.
Yeah, I would say that the, you know, your serving on this board does not deprive you of being a your rights as a private citizen, okay,
yeah.
And I think here's the deal: is that I go back to that shared responsibility. Is that mm-hmm. you want to respect the primary responsibility of the Planning Commission, you know, to do its job.
Yeah.
But obviously, you may see something, you know, mm-hmm. whoa, you know, and you may have an opinion of something, and you want I believe that. The way to address that is to make comment as a private citizen. You can say that. You might, at conceptual design review, you might say, I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not speaking as a member of design review, even though I'm sitting at this design review board table and we're having a conceptual design hearing. But I, as a private citizen, you might say, you know, XYZ. But even then, you know, some people may say that's problematic and that you're probably better off putting records to the project planner to say that,
mm-hmm.
to go to a Planning Commission hearing and say, I'm not here as a DRB member, I'm here as myself, and I have these views. And yeah, I provide service to the city as a DRB member, but I'm just speaking for myself, and here's what I think of the project. I think that's appropriate, and if that's not, then I'm sure someone will tell me very soon. But but hey, I guess that's my answer. And it's not. I know it's not satisfactory, but in terms of making sure that people have. The different players can reserve all their powers, if you will. That's my answer. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Other questions, yeah. comments? Well, Sean, thank you very much for the presentation. Your concluding thoughts, the last bullet, maybe you could put that back up on the,
sure.
the screen, about the project planner being the point person for the project. And I think this is a very critical thing. The community that I hang out with mm-hmm. thinks that the planners spend a lot of time listening to applicants and what the applicants want, and there should be a little more balance in listening to what the community wants, what the public, what the citizens who are living here today want. And I think that that last bullet is really the key to the issue. I mean, we have every design review board meeting, there's a public comment period, and anyone can come and fill out a speaker slip and talk about an item that's within the discretion of the city, not necessarily within the purview of the design review board or specific to an item that's on our agenda. But if a member of the public wants to come and make some points at a design review board meeting about a project, certainly they're given the opportunity to do so at each of our meetings. But more to the point, I think if someone has an issue with something that's coming before us or before the city that has to do with traffic or setbacks or whatever, find out who the planner is for the project and communicate the concerns to that person. I think that's really a good way to go. And then your point gets made without stepping on discretionary toes as to whether it's the responsibility of the DRB or the Planning Commission.
Yeah, I want to say again, the project planner is this integrator, this analyst, the person who's shepherding the project through the process. They're oftentimes the person who's talking to the applicant even before they're making the application. You know, and saying, you know, make sure you look at this ordinance, because I know that, you know, as a planner, there's this issue that you need to be aware of and work and solve, you know. And if you don't solve it, you're going to be in a world of hurt, you know. And I want to say that, you know, we're public employees, we're public professionals, and we serve the public, and if I have a number of projects, major projects under consideration right now, and anyone is welcome to call me, email me, set up an appointment to talk to me about that project, and I will make time for that person. And I would say that goes true for any of staff planners, you know. And you can talk to other people, say citizens or decision makers, but you know, it's this project planner who is the one who's spending the most time contemplating a project, thinking the project, understanding every angle, every impact, every nook and cranny of the project, as much as the applicant is, and is also in a position to communicate that to the applicants directly, you know, and say, you know, I integrated all this information, and boy, you know, there are concerns about this, that, and the other. And some things are supported by the zoning ordinance and general plan, and others are not so much. But you know, so the project the way we do project planning here is, yeah, we assign at least a point person on a project, and for some of these big projects, we might have three or four planners because it's so big. But at least there's one responsible person whose name is on that staff report, his or her name is on that staff report at the end of the day, or is on the agenda. So, you know, my door is open, especially as the DRB secretary. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So.
All right. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
We will then go on to our next to last item, item I, announcements by members. Do we have any announcements? All right. Hearing none. Item J is adjournment, so without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Love could haunt you so. No.